So welcome again, everybody, to Drupal Camp 2011. A couple of quick announcements. We'll be having a soiree, a party this evening at Notman House, which is about 2 blocks away, roughly in that direction, starting out shortly after 5 o'clock. Did everybody get the announcement about the schedule change? The second to last session today is going to be 15 minutes earlier than it shows up on your cards. And shortly after this presentation, we have a vegetarian Lebanese lunch upstairs on the sixth floor. So I'm going to get started. I'm talking today about Web Form 3. My name is Andrew Lindsay. I'm Mirabuck on Drupal.org. And Andrew.Lindsay at McGill.ca is my email address. I do work here at McGill University, where at least 4 people in this room are busily creating applications that we're porting from a legacy system into Drupal. And with 550-odd sites that we're moving across from one system to the other, there are hundreds of applications that we're porting across. And more often than not, WebForm has proven to be the tool that we've used to port them. A lot of them are very simple email forms. Some of them are more complex and fit into use cases that I'll describe today. A little bit about WebForm. It is a basic survey tool used for gathering information from many to display to a few. It was created by Nate from Lullabot roughly 2004, I believe. It's a very popular Drupal module, and it is used on 135,000 websites. Does everybody here know what a node is? All right. We're on the same page. One of the big differences between WebForm and something like Field API or CCK is that WebForm collects data and stores it within a single node. It has custom fields or components, as they're called in the WebForm vocabulary. And those are tied specifically to a single node. They're not used across multiple nodes within a website. Another significant difference is the user interface for web forms is simple enough that it's often put into the hands of end users, unlike something like Field API or CCK, where the system is complex enough that that a great deal of training is required to put somebody in front of it. WebForm is something that people pick up quite easily. A few quick notes about how CCK and WebForms differ. CCK Field API and WebForms differ. Field API is often used to gather data from a few and display it to many, or to gather data from many and display it to a few, as opposed to what we've said about WebForms, gathering data from many, displaying it to few. The WebForm system doesn't tie into the Field API in Drupal, and it's typically only used by mid-level users. In this demonstration, I'm going to be using Drupal 7.8, WebForm 3.13, and another module called WebForm Validation, and it's the 1.0 version. It's important to note that everything I'm talking about here today is more or less feature equivalent between Drupal 6 and Drupal 7. So whether you're using Drupal 7 or Drupal 6, while the UI may be a little bit different, everything that I'm demonstrating here is relevant in both systems. Now, recently we made the leap from WebForm 2 to WebForm 3, and with that we saw a lot of features that were upgraded or added, and these are the things that I'm going to focus on today. Access control, you can now within a single WebForm through a checkbox system, determine whether or not somebody has access to a form based on what roles they have. Forms as blocks. In WebForm 2, we had another module called WebForm Block, which basically allowed you to check a tick box and create a block from a form. This is something that's done in WebForms automatically now. Email templates. Has anybody in this room ever used WebForm 2 and email templating with it? So WebForm 2, typically you're creating tipple fips, tpl.php files, to do custom custom templating for the emails that WebForm sends out when somebody has completed a form submission. If you have 100 forms on a website and a couple of different templates per form, you get a whole bunch of tipple-fit files, which is pretty hard to manage after a while. In WebForm 3, this is completely different. The templating system is all dynamic. The config is stored in the database. You're presented with a UI where you go in and for each email that you're generating at the end of a form submission, determine what the text is the user is going to receive, what variables from the form submission go into that text, that sort of thing. Save draft. It's now a simple checkbox. Just have a save draft button added to each page of a form. This extends as well to multi-page forms. So if you have a multi-page form, at each step of the process, a user can save a draft of what it is they're trying to accomplish and come back to the form later and carry on with their form submission. Branching and conditional fields. In WebForm 3, as part of the module, once we get into multi-page forms, are able to use conditional fields and actually conditional pages as well. So if you have part one of a form where you're asking for a user's name and some other information, and there's some sort of a select list there where they're determining option A, option B, when you get to, after you've chosen that option and passed on to the next page, fields on that page can appear or not appear based on what you've chosen, option A, option B. Alternatively, the next page can only appear to you if you've chosen option A, and an entirely different page can appear to you if you've chosen option B. Private components. This is particularly useful. So if you have a form that the end results of which are going to some sort of administrator, somebody that's going to be verifying it, performing some process on it, you can add private components to a web form. A checkbox, for instance, that says this has been reviewed, this has been reviewed, and some action has been taken, that sort of a thing. These components do not appear to front-end users when they're going through the form and submitting it, but they do appear to admin-level users. Views integration. This is limited, but it exists, which is, I think, a great move and allows WebForm to be increasingly flexible moving forward. WebForm 3 provides elements that are selectable through the view system the moment that you install it, and as I understand it, further development is going to push this further along. Any content type can be web form enabled. Instead of having web form specific content types, you can go through your entire site and make every single content type become a web form or have web forms attached to it if you so desire. Complex validation. Now, I am demoing web form, but I'm also demoing another module today. Web form validation. It's also available D6D7. Allows you to take the basic validation that you find in web form, which amounts to maximum number of characters in a text field, that sort of thing, whether or not something's mandatory, and extend it further. So you can apply checking on whether or not something is a numeric value. You can determine whether or not something is one of three predetermined values. You can have a whitelist sort of a thing and refuse to let users submit certain values. There's a number of other things, and we'll go over that a little bit further. Finally, API improvements. Save, update, insert, delete hooks have been vastly improved. There are also hooks that have been established for pre-built selection lists. So when we go through the WebForm 3 configuration, you'll see that you can already choose select lists, pre-built select lists for things like countries, American states, days of the week, so that when you're creating a select list or something along those lines, you don't have to go through and do all that data entry yourself. There are hooks that allow us to add to that, and I'm sure that modules will be built that add all sorts of new features along those lines. I'm going to move on now to the demonstration. So this is a basic D7 install. The only thing I've really added to this is WebForm module and WebForm validation. For the purposes of demonstration, I think today we will create a form that if it's the use case of, say, a restaurant that wants to allow people to order a delicious breakfast. You'll notice right away if you're used to WebForm 2 at all. Let me just get rid of that real quick. You'll notice right away that the node edit form is considerably leaner than what we found in WebForm 2.0. WebForm 2.0, all the WebForm settings were attached to this page, and it was sort of an enormous, lengthy jumble of settings, and it was hard to really discern what was what. To create a WebForm now, I'm basically just creating a regular node, so we'll call this test breakfast. I won't bother putting in a body. I'm going to save this, and immediately I'm going to be pushed on to the form components dialog. Now you see up here, unlike WebForm 2.0, we have a tab specifically for WebForm. This is where all our settings appear, and that includes the form components and emails tabs that we're familiar with from WebForm 2.0. The form settings have been moved out of the node edit page and now reside here. Form validation comes up when you install WebForm validation module. So let's add some basic components. I'm going to start with a name. Component dialog is fairly simple. Here we're adding a label. Here we're adding a field key. This is automatically generated from the data that I input on the other page. I can add a description if I want. I can make it mandatory, which seems useful to me in this circumstance. I could give it a maximum length, make it unique. There's some display options, so I can say that, for instance, I want name to have the label display above or beside, that sort of thing. Down here you see the toggle for private, which is what I mentioned previously. We could make name something that only admins see and add information to when they're looking at the form after it's been submitted. I'm not going to do much here other than to save the component. We'll add a few of the basic things very quickly, like email. For those of you that aren't familiar with WebForm, there is an email component that automatically validates to make sure that whatever you're adding is actually an email address. This page is very similar to the one we saw previously. We'll save that component and carry on. Now, I want to demonstrate to you the conditional page, the conditional component stuff that I was mentioning. In order to do that, on this first page that we're creating, we're going to create some sort of select list. So select options, let's call this diet. Any sort of component with options in WebForm has this sort of dialog where you're entering a key value pair on my left, or on the left side rather. I'm going to put in vegan in a machine readable format and something that's more presentable. Afterwards, each line is an individual item in your select list. Let's add vegetarian. And for lack of a better word, omnivore. When I get down here, we can see the load pre-built option list thing that I was mentioning previously. I could choose here to select countries, and it would automatically populate the field up here with the list alphabetically of all the countries in the world. I'm going to make this one mandatory as well. By default, it's going to display as a series of radio boxes or check boxes. I'm going to make it a list box. I could randomize the order here if I wanted to. I'm going to make the label appear to the left of it inline. Again, I could make it a private field if I wanted to. So I think that's the bulk of what I want on my first page here. I'm going to go ahead and create another page. And we'll call this breakfast choice. I select page break. not much here in the way of choices. Basically just what I put in as a label and a save component. Now you'll notice in this first page that we're putting together, you didn't see anything that came up that talked about conditional components or that sort of a dialogue. Now that we have a second page or a page break in place, that's going to come up with every component that we add. So I'm going to start here with meat, which, as you might suspect, isn't an option that we want to present to vegetarians and vegans. Can I get some suggestions for breakfast meats? Sausages. Croton? Why not? We are in Quebec. No, we're in Croton? No. There we go. Now, as I get down near the bottom of this configuration page, you'll see that there's a new section, that's conditional rules. This allows me to select an existing component like diet and set a rule for it. So I can say, if diet is one of omnivore, display this component. Let's go on to tofu. So let's add the tofu surprise. Bacon flavored. Bacon flavored tofu. And the tofu hash. I'm going to make this one a list box, I suppose. Once again, we've got this conditional rule section. Here I'm going to say, it might be a little bit unfair to omnivores, but I'm going to say that omnivores can't actually select tofu. So in this case, I'm going to say diet is not one of omnivore. I could have also done the reverse and said diet is one of vegan and vegetarian and put them on separate lines. I'm going to say this component. And what we should now find, if we go to the actual form and go through it, it's asking us for a name. Bob. An email address. And a diet. I'm going to choose vegan, go to the next page, I get my tofu choices. I go back, I select omnivore, I get my meat choices. So what I'm going to do right now is the sort of cooking show bake a cake thing and pull out a much more developed form. Start, I guess, by looking at the components. I've taken what we developed there earlier, gone a little bit further with it. So we've got name, phone number, email address, diet as mandatory fields on the first page. We've got, I don't actually want order status. Forgive me. While I delete this. Breakfast selection, where we've got choices like meat, tofu, eggs, potatoes, toast, side orders, drink, text area, where we're giving notes to the chef. And here we're using conditional rules for pages. So that depending on what somebody's chosen on the food retrieval page, we're going to send somebody to a page that's either information for delivery time and date and delivery information in general, or we're going to send them to a page that's about pickup information. When we look at that in action, Ah, sorry. One more thing I want to point out. The phone number field here, when I go to edit it, or rather when I go to form validation, I've got a rule I've created here already. I'm actually going to delete this and we'll recreate it ourselves. I can add a complex or more complex validation rule to this than what I would find in the basic field, where it basically just lets me limit the number of items that are in the text area or the number of characters that are in the text area, or make it mandatory, that sort of thing. I've got a whole bunch of different rules to choose from here. I've got numeric values, making sure it's actually a numeric value, minimum, maximum length, minimum, maximum number of words, equal values, unique values, a great deal of options, including things that, as I mentioned before, you can even do regex here. So, I mean, if you've got regex here, your ads, you can pretty much come up with anything and do anything you like. A blacklist, so if there was some, I don't know, offensive word we absolutely didn't want people to put into web forms, we could prevent them from doing that. Someone, or a phone number specific rule hasn't been created yet, but I'm going to do the next best thing, and I'm going to make my phone number field only numeric, which I admit doesn't make perfect sense if people want to add dashes, that sort of thing, but humor me. We have to create a rule name, so numeric value for phone number sounds good to me. We choose a component that we're going to apply it to. And I click Add Rule. Some of these validation rules are going to have more options. So if I was to want to do regex, regular expression, and apply it to name, here I drop in my regex code, that sort of thing. Error message, it's custom if it doesn't validate. I'm not going to bother adding that. Now that I've added it, however, if I go back to my form, we'll see it at work. So I'll just try and submit this with some random characters here. Put my email address, put in my omnivore diet. You'll notice as well with this form that I've turned on the save as draft functionality. So as I proceed from page to page, it's going to allow me to save a draft. There's actually a checkbox that allows this to happen automatically as well, and I believe I've got that checked on, which is why this is... No. I'm not quite sure why that's there. If I go to my next page, or attempt to go to my next page, phone number is not numeric. Our validation is working, so I'll toss in some random phone number. We'll carry on and fill in our breakfast order. I'm feeling hungry for ham. Sunny side up. Home fries. Rye toast. Apologies to those of you that haven't had breakfast yet. Some notes for the chef. Heavy on the pepper. And I'll move forward. I'm going to choose delivery. Choose a time. 7:04 a.m. This is a date component here. Comes with a pop-up calendar if you choose to use it. Move on to the next page. Thank you. I knew I was forgetting something. Rodeo Drive. And my form submission is complete. I get a message telling me that your order to Jack Breakfast Castle has been received and will be available to fill your stomach at the time of your choosing. And go back to the form. We're going to take a look now at email messages that are generated when that's submitted. So, we've taken a look at the form components tab, obviously. The email tab allows me to generate emails that are sent either to a predefined address, as we've got here, orderup@example.com. This is going to my chef. Or it allows me to choose an email that's coming in from a form component. So we have a form component that we created called email. I'm pulling in the value of that and sending it to somebody an email address. Yeah, email, message. To the chef, and when we configure email settings, we have the ability to put in things like custom subject, custom from address, custom from name. But the most interesting stuff happens down here. This email template section allows me to take predefined variables and slot them into whatever text I like and have that email sent off to this person. This is basically the default template here, submitted on such and such date, submitted by such and such user, and email values contains everything that is toggled down under included email values. And in this particular case, we've taken every component in the form and passed it on to our chef. If we were concerned about privacy with our chef and didn't want to pass the phone number, email address, we could toggle them off, tweak them, and carry on. Now, if we want to send a very different email to the person who has placed an order, we can create an alternate template. And that's exactly what we've done here. Custom template, hello such and such, your breakfast order has been received. Your order details are as follows. And again, we're using the email values string or token, for lack of a better word. And instead of sending everything to this person, we're basically just sending the details of what they've ordered. And because of that, the moment the form is submitted by the user, two different emails go out to two different people, communicating two different things. You can use tokens in this, if you're at all familiar with the token module in Drupal, and potentially insert any other dynamic content you want from other modules. We'll take a quick look at the form settings page. Here I define my custom confirmation message, the one that shows up and says thank you for ordering at Jack's Breakfast Castle. I can redirect the user somewhere specific after form submission is complete. I can send them to a confirmation page. I can simply reload the current page. I can limit the number of submissions the user puts in. I can take the form itself and simply shut it down. We're not taking orders on Saturday and Sunday, and that's the end of it. I mentioned before submission access. This is where I can say this form is only available to authenticated users. And people venture to the form and they don't have access. They're presented with a dialog that encourages them to log in and provides them with a link to do so. Advanced settings. Available as a block basically replicates what we had with WebForm block in WebForm 2. Makes it available on the block configuration page, and you can place it wherever you like within a given theme. Show complete form and teaser if you're showing a list of forms somewhere in some context. Show save draft button. This is what causes that save draft button to show up on the different form pages. Automatically save draft between pages. So on and so forth. We can change, if we want, the submit button text, allowing us to create a button that says place breakfast order. Finally, the results page in WebForm hasn't changed much at all between WebForm 2 and WebForm 3. But for those of you that aren't familiar with WebForm, it takes every submission that you've put in. You know what? Let's quickly do one more form submission, just so we got a bit of data to work with. Sam. 1, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This time we'll go vegetarian. again with the conditional components. Oops. We get an entirely different list of things. Placing a vegetarian order. If I was vegan, I wouldn't have an egg choice. This time we'll go with pickup. And as you can see, this takes us to an entirely different page, which only has a dialogue for a pickup time. We've submitted our order. So, back to the form, over to the results tab. You can see now that we do have two form submissions here. This gives us a UI that allows us to go and view the submissions, edit them, delete them as we see fit. There's an analysis sub-tab, which allows us to determine information like over the last week, how many people have ordered eggs scrambled, how many people have ordered eggs hard-boiled, etc., etc. Pretty useful, I guess, if you're trying to figure out how much food to order in a restaurant menu. There's a table view, which dumps everything out into a single table. Download page, which allows us to take essentially the same information that we're putting into that table and put it into an Excel file or a CSV file, something along those lines. We can do this by date ranges and a few other options if we like. And finally, we've got the ability, if we like, to clear all of the form submissions that we have within our web form. So if for whatever reason, every month we wanted to wipe out all the orders and carry on with a clean slate, we could do so. I think that's about it for the demonstration. Are there any questions? So the three that I showed you there show up, they come with web form module. The rest of them can be created and inserted into that dialog in the module by other modules using a hook that's already been created for that purpose. If I remember correctly, in Nate's presentation at Chicago, he mentioned that the groundwork had been laid for that, but that the dots hadn't all been connected yet. But that is the plan, I believe. Yes. So there is, with the module called payment, integration with e-commerce. It doesn't necessarily cross all the T's and dot all the I's. It doesn't, for instance, make sure that you're viewing a form through SSL, that sort of thing. According to Nate, it does ensure at the very least that you're not storing data in the database that you shouldn't be storing. But I don't know if it would be easy to set it up so it was like PCI compliant, for instance, without at least a little bit of work. Yes? I'm not aware of a module that does that currently. Does anybody know? That makes sense. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if something could be done with the configuration to accomplish it, and I can certainly see where that makes sense. Yes. So if not currently that I'm aware of. I think you would have to accomplish something like that with, you. Right. Not that I'm aware of. I know that it gets a bit confusing when you've got conditional rules here. You've got conditional actions, at least in the D6 version of UberCart. And then you've got the rules module and the actions module, and all these things sort of, to some degree, seem like they're doing a little bit of the same thing. I don't think there's anything that ties this into UberCart, and I'm not aware of any dialogue going on that does that sort of thing. You up there? Yeah, actually, we had that enabled currently. So if we go back, actually, we can do this submission dialog. If we go back and take a look at this submission, when we get to the delivery page, there is this series of select lists, but there's an icon here with a calendar. If you choose that, it gives you a date picker to pick from. I'm beginning to wonder about that. I know that for a while, date module was required to have the date picker show up. Is date on by default in D7? And in this case, I haven't turned on date module, so I, yeah. Oh, sure. So if we go and take a look at that. Let's just get to the right page here. So if I take a look at the form here. Component I'm using to add the date is delivery date, is the date component. I believe in the appearance dialog here, or display dialog, enable pop-up calendar. If I have this checked, it's going to show up. More or less, I think it's going to get a lot more flexible in the next few versions of WebForm. I think the great thing to hurrah about right now is that there actually is information being passed into views. Yes. It would be nice if it was. As far as I know, it's not tied into features, at least at the moment. You could use Node Export, yeah. Anyone else? The form submissions or the forms themselves? The form submissions are not individual nodes. They're tied to a single node, and that's a big difference between it and something like Field API or CCK. I think, are there any more questions? I guess we've got about 5 minutes left if anyone has others. So not fields, the components within a WebForm, the fields that show up when you go to a WebForm and fill it out, aren't fields in the Field API sense. I think a lot of the reason they're referred to as components in the WebForm module is to try and make that distinction. It doesn't tie into Field API. It doesn't tie into entities. It's something that's completely separate. I'm not entirely sure. I take you mean how do you connect to the module in a sense of bringing in data that would show up and be displayed as part of filling out a particular field? Or Something like that may be possible when we have views integration in terms of bringing data in from views, and it does sound like the ground for that, the groundwork for that has been laid, but I don't think it's something that's possible now. If there are no more questions, we're going to have lunch in just a few minutes upstairs. A use case like that to me sounds like something that's better fitting with something like Field API CCK. Webform really is a survey tool. A lot of the things I've demonstrated today allow us to take it a few steps further and develop surveys and applications that are considerably more complex than what we could do in Webform too. But in terms of interacting with nodes, toggling different things, that sort of thing, I think it's better off done in other systems. Thank you very much.